God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 21st day of May, 2008, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. The sermon tonight from Brother Clark, our missionary to Botswana. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Well, the preacher said, before I came up here, he said, you'll probably never see your presentation on a larger screen than that, and I would agree with him. I pray that the Lord has used the audio-visual to help impact you for the need we have in Africa. Let me invite your attention to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we'll begin there in a moment. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Mike, pray for me. Terry said I've got the Ponca City crud or something like that. When you come in the area, you get this cold or whatever it is. And so I've been contributing to the pharmaceutical industry here in your community. So pray that I can continue on through this time that we have tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we'll begin. We'll be looking at a couple of verses in chapter 1 and then 2 verses in chapter number 2. The first section that we'll look at in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy is in verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, I don't know whether this digression from the scripture to my first question for you as a congregation would help you to pray more for my wife, showing that I'm a little bit of a weird kind of a guy, but there's reasons for some of the things that I'm going to ask you this evening. I hope that you can, I'm going to look out and make sure that I can see your response, because this still, even though it's a theater during the day, it's a church here tonight, a church building, and so you have to tell the truth, amen? It's just important that you can't hide in the shadows. God can see you, whether I can or not. But the question I have for you is, how many of you like, now understand the word, how many of you like Diet Coke? Just raise your hand. My word. This is a strange bunch, preacher. You too. We drank it at lunch the other day, didn't you? Now, you sure you like it, you know, because I drink it. I drink it, but I can't honestly say that I like it. I found that as I've matured more in life, that I'm learning to like or endure at least Diet Dr. Pepper. That almost seems like a sacrilege, I think, but Diet Dr. Pepper and Diet Coke and so forth. Well, at any rate, there's a large number of you that like it, so you may not appreciate this next portion, but I was commenting to somebody here some time ago that while I drink Diet Coke, I don't particularly enjoy it like I would real Coke or Diet Dr. Pepper or what have you. But anyhow, back on the Diet Coke, they said, well, we've got something that you need to try. I said, you need to try Diet Coke with lemon and lime slices. I said, really? That'll work? I said, yeah, it's great. It really gives it a zip or something, and so you need to try it. So the next time we went to a restaurant, we tried some, I think we started out, in all honesty, trying just lemon slices, and then we kind of progressed up to lime slices, and we found out that, in fact, truthfully, it makes a Diet Coke taste almost palatable. And so we started drinking it that way. Well, here a few months ago, Bonnie and I were in Florida, and we were going to be in this particular town, and we went into this restaurant. We were going to be in that town for about a week. We went into this restaurant, and the server came up, this young lady, and she asked us what we'd like to have to drink, and we said, well, we'd like to have Diet Coke with lemon and lime slices. She looked at us, as most do, a little bit strange, but nevertheless, she went off and dutifully brought back the Diet Coke with lemon and lime slices, and we drank it. We ordered our meal. We ate our meal. We got up. We left the track, and off we went. And so the end of the week, we came back to the same restaurant. And Bonnie and I are talking there at the table, and this young lady comes up and says, how can I help you? What would you like to drink? And I said, we would like two Diet Cokes with lemon and lime slices. And all of a sudden, she says, oh, you're the ones. My, she said, it's good to see you back. You must really like this restaurant. Oh, I'm so good to see you again. I mean, wow, what is this? I didn't recognize her at all. She said, you're the couple that drinks your Diet Coke with lemon and lime slices, and you were here the first part of the week, and you also left me a little book. And I said, yeah, we left you a gospel tract. And she said, yeah, yeah. And so all of a sudden, now my wife, I don't know how many of you can see, but she's pretty short. But they say dynamite comes in small packages. And so she looked right in the young lady's eyes and she said, did you read it? What? Did you read the little booklet that we gave you? Well, she said, you know, I got busy that night and I put it away in my purse and I didn't. And she started in with all of these excuses, and Bonnie said, no, you didn't read it. Well, let us explain to you what it said. And so Bonnie and I both started to share the gospel with this young waitress. Now, I'd like to be able to tell you that she, in our presence that night, asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save her, but she didn't. But she did get a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she did have in her possession, even at that point, she then had two of the very same gospel tracts. And so the Bible talks about here, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. As we go through this short message tonight, this would be something that would be a foundational principle for all of us, whether we're going to Africa or Ponca City or wherever, and that's not to be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, just by something simple like a lemon and lime slices, something that along with that, but not because of that, Bonnie and I, every time we go out to eat, especially when we're paying the bill, and even sometimes when we're not, we'll leave a gospel tract as a witness to whoever is serving us. Sometimes when we go to the toll booths here in Oklahoma and Pennsylvania seem to be the two most famous states in the union for toll, if they're not saved, all the toll booth attendants in Oklahoma ought to be saved. I'm sure they've got a lot of gospel tracts down through the years. But we need not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the gospel of our precious Savior. It says in verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. You know, here I am tonight. I'm on center stage. Never thought I would be in that position, on the platform, if you will. There may be some of you that would think, boy, would it be nice to be on stage sometime, and whether it's preaching the gospel or whatever it may be. You may be here tonight, and you may be a Christian for a long time, but you've never grown to the understanding or the appreciation of how important you and I both are, all of us who know Christ as our Savior. God in His wisdom decided that He would use us to reach the whole world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I wouldn't have done that. I know me. I know my limitations, my fallacies. But God in His wisdom decided to pick on you and me to say, here, take my gospel about how much I love you to the whole world. And Central Baptist Church does that as far as the whole world through the missionary program, going yourselves in some cases, people being sent out of this church, giving financially, praying, making things easier for a missionary to be able to enjoy life when they're here in America, and on it may go. But can I say to you that next Sunday morning, for that matter even tonight, I wasn't able to see if there were any visitors here tonight. And if you're visiting tonight, prayerfully and hopefully, I believe you received a warm welcome when you came in. But the Bible talks about who saved us and called us with a holy... Everyone here tonight has a holy calling, not necessarily to be a pastor of a church, not necessarily to be a missionary, not necessarily to be the song leader, youth director, pianist, and so forth and so on. But at bare minimum, beloved, I'd like to share with you that we have a holy calling of countenance. How many of you remember the first time you ever came to Central Baptist Church or to any other human organization? It's a fearful thing, isn't it, to go to something new, but especially a church. And so you come into that church, and sometimes people aren't as friendly as they ought to be. I know that wouldn't be the case here from what I've seen down through the years. But next Sunday, when the doors open here and people come in to listen to the gospel being preached, people would think, well, now the whole thing is centered around the gospel proclaimed by pastor. He hadn't been in his pulpit really now for about three services, so he's going to preach a really great sermon next week. I know he does anyhow. But there's a certain amount of truth in that he proclaims, or I'm proclaiming, the gospel tonight. But you know, if you've come in as a visitor and you've not been received well by the people with the countenance, in other words, seeing somebody who's honestly thankful that they're here, they're not going to hear much of what's being said from this pulpit. And then if this church doesn't prosper in the Lord, then the ability of missionaries to go forth from through this church out into a lost and dying world will be affected negatively. So as Paul says to Timothy here, all of us, we've been called with a holy calling. Every one of us here is important to the proclaiming of the gospel to the lost and dying around the world. It says in verse number 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love. And so the first willing that I want to have already shared with you is that we need to be willing not to be ashamed. The second willing, I'm just going to briefly talk about this in verse number 13, is that we need to be willing to hold fast to the Word of God. Now, you know, in the time that I've been back in the States, I've heard more and more discussions about amongst Baptist churches about which version of the Bible. And my purpose isn't going to be to stand up here tonight and go into a doctrinal thesis about which version. This is the King James Bible, and this is what I believe is the very Word of God. But I want to say to you that I think that as important as that issue is, there's one even more important, and that is that Carl Clark doesn't take the Word of God in the King James English and go and pick just bits and pieces from that that I'm going to apply to my life and then forget those things that I don't think are important for whatever the reason. So can I share with you that the Paul's saying to Timothy here, he says, don't be ashamed of my gospel, but he's also saying to us, you know, the whole of the Word of God is to be applied to our life. And I believe that if we don't hold the whole of the Word of God truthful for us in our own lives, that the case for world evangelism will be affected to the negative all around the world, because we'll pick and choose only the verse that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Some of you may say, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. But if it's in the Word of God, it's true for everybody. It's a command for all of our churches to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the churches are made up of individuals, and the individuals make up the whole of it. And so we need to be willing to hold fast to the Word of God. Then number three, in chapter number two, verse number one. Verse number two you saw on the screen, but we're going to go back over. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We not only need to be willing to not be ashamed, and we need to be willing to hold fast to the Word of God, but we need to be willing in the grace of God. God's riches at Christ's expense, it's been said. Part of God's grace is also His sovereignty. A couple of weeks ago up in Kansas, I had the opportunity to preach the Word of God. It was a Wednesday through Sunday missions conference. And on Thursday night, I was in the pulpit preaching, and I noticed in the back of a church a young man came in. He came in running shorts and a dirty, sweaty T-shirt. He sat down. I thought, well, it's just probably one of the church's people coming in late from work. And I thought, no, I don't think so. The guy looks pretty scruffy. So he sat down. At the end of the service, I gave the invitation. I asked if there's anybody here that if you were to die tonight, you don't know whether you'd be in heaven or hell. In fact, you wouldn't know where you'd be. And this young man raised his hand that he didn't know where he would be should he die that night. And so after another minute or two of the invitation, I turned it over to the preacher, and I grabbed my Bible off the pulpit, and I ran to the back. Now, there was only one way in and out of that particular church. I got to the back, and I waited for the invitation to be completely over. And as I'm standing there, the young man kept turning around and looking at me. He thought, uh-oh, I'm caught. I raised my hand, and that guy saw me raise my hand, and sure enough, I had. And so the congregation was dismissed. The man gets up, and he starts to walk back toward me, and I extended my hand, and I said, hi, I'm Carl Clark. And he says, hello, I'm Josh Hendez. And I said, Josh, I noticed that during the last part of this service, I asked if you knew if you'd go to heaven or not, and you raised your hand that you didn't. I said, do you have a few minutes that I might be able to take you over to the side here and show you from the Word of God how that you can know that heaven is your home? He thought for a moment. He said, yeah, I believe I do have the time. So we went over the side, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, Josh Hendez, who had walked into that building lost that night, bowed his head and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. After we had made sure that he really understood, I started asking about his life. And Josh was originally from Juarez, Mexico, and he had come to California to live. He was part of a group of men and women who were running across America from California to New York to raise money for the Red Cross. And it just so happened that they were running through Wichita. He said, you know, tonight I just left the dormitory where we're staying, and he said, I just felt like I needed to get out and walk around. He said, I came walking down the street. I walked by this church. He said, I saw the lights. I saw the people, and I thought, well, I'll go in and see what's going on. He said, no. And he said, I started to walk away. He said, something just seemed to speak to my heart that I needed to go back. And he said, I came back. I looked in the second time. I saw, again, new people in here. And I started to walk in, but I stopped and turned around and said, nah, started to walk away. And he said, but the third time, he said, I just realized I had to come in. He says, I came in and I sat down. And, of course, I asked Jesus to save me. Well, he was explaining this to me and to the pastor of that church. Excuse me. And the next day, on Sunday morning, well, it was actually on Sunday, the pastor of the church got up and said to the congregation, he said, you know, I want to talk to you about God's sovereignty, or part of this grace of God. He said, here's a guy from Juarez, Mexico. His name is Josh Hendez. He says he's from Juarez, Mexico. He moved to California. He joined a group of people who are running across America from California to the East Coast to raise money for the Red Cross. He comes to Wichita, Kansas. He walks by a church on a Thursday night, which would normally be closed. He walks up and down, back and forth three times, and finally decides to come in. He walks in and he sits down, and what happens but a missionary from Botswana leads him to Christ. He said, that's God's sovereignty. He wasn't foreordained and predestined before the beginning of time to get saved, but God lovingly moved upon his heart to be there and to orchestrate, if you will, things that gave this man an opportunity to hear the good news of his salvation. There's an opportunity that I have tonight here in Central Baptist. When Bonnie and I came back to the States and knew that God wanted us to go back to Africa, after all these years in the ministry, I thought, well, what's one of my biggest responsibilities that I have in the brief time that I'm before my supporting churches? And I thought, you know, one of the biggest responsibilities that I have tonight is to try and convey to you in a short period of time a burden for people in Botswana that you'll never see this side of heaven, more than likely. Pretty tall order. So that when I leave, you'll be burdened enough, not just to give money, but to pray for individuals. The man in the red shirt that I ask you to try and remember sitting next to me on the couch is David. David, before he got saved, had made some bad choices in life. And David contracted HIV. As a robust a young man as he seemed in that picture, not long after that picture was taken, he was nothing more than a skeleton. Because HIV turned into raging AIDS, and he died. In the church, some of the earlier pictures, there's a young man by the name of Danny, a young lady by the name of Zodwa. Both also made some bad decisions before they accepted Christ. And both of them we watch go from healthy young people to, just in a short period of time, as little as 2 weeks, become skeletons and die with raging AIDS because of some bad choices that they made. But they made, all three of them, along with 20 other people that you wouldn't know, but in that presentation there are 20 people that are now in glory because you sent a missionary with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And they bowed their head at different points in the last 23 years and asked Christ to save them. One of the other men in the presentation, his name is David. David was the man, he was kneeling there in the little kitchen, that's what that was, around the little cook stove. David is one that he came to unlock my house after I'd lost the keys. I'd like to tell you Bonnie lost them, but it was me. And Fred, that was Fred. Fred was the first Botswanan that I led to Christ in Botswana. And I had taken a track when he came to the house that day. It's this particular track. Beginning of the track says, in the front page it says, if you were to die today and were to meet God and he should ask you why he should let you into heaven, what would you say? And from there, you know, you can tell a lot about what a person answers. They say, well, I'm a good person. The Bible says, for by grace, you know, that not of works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. So it's not that. Well, you know, I've been baptized. Well, Paul says, I thank God I baptized none, you know, other than those that it talks about. So it gives you a place to start. And so anyhow, I showed Fred this track and led him through it. And the end of it is a salvation prayer. And Fred had bowed his head and asked the Lord Jesus to save him. Several months had gone by. And Fred normally was a real chipper kind of guy. But I noticed his countenance had changed. So one day I said to Fred, I said, Fred, there's something troubling you. What's wrong? Now, again, remember back here in this scripture, the Bible says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's my responsibility and that's yours. I said, Fred, what's wrong? He's all pastor. My family, my mother and my father, my brothers and sisters who lived in Mozambique, they're not saved. He said, I'm so troubled about this. He said, Pastor, in a short while, I'm going to journey back to Mozambique for the sole purpose of trying to share salvation with my family. I said, man, that's great, Fred. That's why we were saved, so that we can reproduce ourselves in Christ. He said, yeah, but Pastor, he says, his head kind of dropped. He said, I have a problem. I said, well, Fred, what's the problem? Pastor, he says, I can't read. I said, what? He said, I can't read. I said, but Fred, that's impossible. I said, I took this track and you read it and I gave you a Bible afterwards and you read. No, Pastor. He said, I was fooling you. I listened to the words that you said, but I can't read. And he said, when I go to Mozambique, my family, they can read English. And I have an English Bible and I must be able to read to them so that they can know how to be saved. But he says, Pastor, I have a solution to this problem. He says, you can teach me English. I said, I got a graduate degree in theology, but I can't teach. You know, and first of all, whether you realize or not, we don't speak English. We speak American. So I said, no, Fred, I can't. No, he said, Pastor, you must teach me to read English. I called somebody. I can't remember who it was. Somebody here in America and asked him to Air Express some flashcards to me. I mean, when I'm talking about teaching a person English, I'm not talking about reading the word the. I'm talking about what is an A, what is a B, what is a Z, and so forth. And so for a period of time, after those flashcards came on Tuesday nights and on Thursday nights, and whenever we could, Fred and I would gather around those flashcards, and I would try to teach him English. And he kept getting more and more frustrated and more and more frustrated. And I said, Fred, you know, this is a long process. And he said, Pastor. He said, I'm going to go to Mozambique shortly. He said, you're not teaching me quick enough. I wanted to tell him he wasn't learning quick enough. But, you know, the possibility existed that it was me. So I said, well, you know. He said, Pastor, in 2 weeks I'm going to Mozambique. He said, you must teach me to read English. I believe the Lord gave me the answer. I said, Fred, does your parents, does your family read English? He said, yes. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let's take this track, and you just go up to your parents or your brothers and sisters when you get to Mozambique, and you just say, read page number one. Now, you know what it contains. Just tell them, you read page number one. You read page number two. You read page number three. And then, of course, when they get to the last page, you ask them, do they understand that? And I said, you have that knowledge. Then ask them to pray the sinner's prayer. He said, man, that sounds like a good idea. I said, Fred, do you have any friends at work who are lost and can read English? Oh, he said, yes, Pastor. They are all lost. They all read English, too. I said, well, take the track, and tomorrow when you go to work, ask them to just try it on one of your work associates. Ah, Pastor, he says, that's a good idea. So off we went. The next Sunday, and we're meeting in Fred's house, so I noticed that there was Fred there, and there was a lot of people who came in all at once, but I noticed there was one young man sitting on that same couch that David had been sitting on, and he had the biggest grin on his face. You know, kind of like the Cheshire Cat, like he just got caught eating Tweety Bird or something. And he was sitting there throughout the whole of the service with this big grin on his face. At the end of the service, everybody started to leave, and we're standing at the door, and we're talking, and this man's still sitting there with a big smile on his face. And finally, Fred brings him up to me, and he said, Pastor, I would like for you to meet Dubé. I said, Dubé, it's good to meet you. I said, Dubé, you seem to be so happy. I said, why have you had this big grin on your face all the morning? He's, oh, Pastor. He said, I have asked Jesus to save my soul. He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, well, praise the Lord. That's great, Dubé. I said, how did that happen? How did you get saved? Because, you know, I'm getting ready to check him out. Oh, he said, Pastor. He said, Fred came to work one day. He took this little booklet out, and Dubé pulled this same track out of his pocket. He said, Fred came up to me and put it in my face and said, read page one. Read page two. Read page three until we got to the end. And he said, now pray the prayer. I said, did you understand? Oh, yeah, Pastor. I understood it well. And so he said, I asked Jesus to save me. Being willing not to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being willing to not pick and choose the portions of the Bible that you want to make it true for yourself and maybe others around you. In other words, being willing to accept the responsibility to share the gospel with the lost and dying all over the world, including Ponca City. Being willing in the grace of God as He brings opportunities, whether it's because you have lemon and lime in your Coke or just because you go up and get in somebody's face and say, read page number one. But be willing. Be willing to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to conclude with this. Years ago, there was a great ship that left England on its maiden voyage to come to America. In the transatlantic process, that great ship hit an iceberg, the Titanic. History tells us, records tell us, that not far away from the Titanic was another ship. There's all kinds of controversy over what happened in particular. The radio man was accused of being asleep and didn't hear to the distress calls of SOS. SOS is save our soul. That's what it means. But whether the radio man was asleep or the captain, there's all kinds of considerations of what the captain should have been doing. But here was a ship not very far from the Titanic that was still afloat, had lifeboats, life jackets, had radio men that were capable of calling additional help, had other able-bodied seamen on the ship that were able to go to the assistance of the Titanic, but didn't respond. And of course, the Titanic sank with thousands of souls. We can sit here tonight with all the right equipment, but if we're not willing to apply it to the lost and dying of this world, we're as good as that ship that let everybody die on the Titanic. Father, help us to be willing to do what you'd want us to do. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with Brother Clark, our missionary to Botswana. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponca Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.